Music to one's ears. Music to one's ears. What does that mean when you hear that? Music to one's ears. Isn't that a sweetness? Can it be? Unless it's fingernails on a chalkboard, right? That's not music to one's ears. But what is it when you get music to one's ears, right? It's something, I think there's a descriptor. I don't know if I plugged one in or not. But it's something that is pleasant or gratifying to hear or to discover. To discover. What can we have that's pleasing to one's ears, right? Maybe you heard a voice that you haven't heard for a long time. See an old friend you haven't seen for a long time. That can be music to one's ears, right? Maybe a song you haven't heard in a long time can be music to one's ears. Or a feud that's been going on and it's now over. You know, that can be, again, music to one's ears, right? Or we can have other stuff that may not be music to one's ears, but we think that it is, right? We'll sit there and go, oh my gosh, that just tickles my ears. You guys have any songs from the past that you sang that you probably wished you wouldn't have sang to this day? Yeah? I was talking to first service about a guy named Slowhand, and he played just a mean guitar, and the reason that he called him Slowhand is because he wasn't fast through the frets. He was real slow at it. And it had this doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, which was the hook. The hook is when you hear a song that you go, oh, I know that song. That's the hook. And the song was, do you know the name of the song? Cocaine, right? Nope. Yep, Smoke on the Water is a whole other one, right? But it's close. It was Cocaine. And that's a song I was like, yeah, that song rocks. We didn't even do the devil sign, you know. Yeah, that song rocks, Cocaine. I'm not singing that anymore. That used to be music that was pleasant, you know, or was a sweet noise to the ear. It's not that. It's not music to one's ears anymore. A lot of that music I put away. And my cousin asked me one time, says, well, why don't you listen to some of the old tunes anymore? And I said, well, I still do, but not really often, because I don't want that competing with what the Lord would have in music in my heart or in my mind. I don't want that competing. Because what it does is, it now, whatever I'm singing to, whatever I'm visually attaching to, whatever I'm gaming or watching TV to, I'll start becoming that model of such. And I don't want that. I don't want that in my eyes. I don't want that in my ears. I don't want any part of it. I just want it to be left alone. I don't want a half-truth. If something is half-true, it's also half-lie. So I don't know why we call it a half-truth. Maybe we're trying to justify it or something. Sometimes you'll have music that comes into your ears that you don't want to hear, but it actually is a sweet sound. It is music to your ears. At the end of the day, or at the beginning in this case, music to one's ears is usually a good thing. We're going to see how different people position that consideration here as well. We're going to be in Genesis 34 today. Here's the other scriptures, Romans 12:2, Matthew 7:16, and Matthew 5:38 through 42. They'll be up there for you to either take a picture of or look at later or jot now in your notes. You know, in the back of your seat, you have a note card there. On the back is all of our stuff. On the front is some times, general notes here, scripture and key points to the left, and then something that you took from today's message. Jot them down. 85% when you jot, read, and hear, you'll remember and restore. Also, there's prayer requests in there. If you're not getting emails from us on communication, make sure to go ahead and fill this out. Put it in a box. There's another card, totally separate. You can write your prayer requests on there, and then they're automatically, by default, for My Eyes Only and Pastor Brent. If you want them public, they will only go out on email. If you put somebody's name without their permission, we'll just soften that name till we get permission. We'll be in 34 of Genesis. So I want you to think about something while we're kind of talking. You're a girl, and for you guys, just kind of work with me. You're a girl, and you want girl time. What does girl time look like to you right now?
Lunch, shopping.
Lunch, the infamous word, shopping, right? Lunch, shopping, what?
Breakfast,
brunch for you late sleepers, right? You chicks that like to, pardon?
Pedicure,
petty mani, mani petty. Yeah, and it should, why do they call it mani? It should be womany, right? Huh? Well, there's only one that man that cured, and okay, we'll go there another day. I'm just totally funny. Yeah, so you get a mani-pedi. What else? Good times, right? Go down to the coffee shop and have a coffee, right? Maybe Barnes & Noble. Maybe you're having your salad jar party. What? Boot. For our redneck sisters out there, we're going down to the boot barn. Right? Oh, my gosh. And you're just so excited because you know what? You happen to have just all these brothers, right? And there's no other girls other than like your mom and maybe a few sisters along the way. But you've heard their stories. You've heard their stuff. And men are about, right? Men are kind of funny, aren't they, gals? Now, we're just talking to the gals right now. Men are weird, right? They make strange noises out of everything that can be noise made, even their underarm, right? They can make really, they have hair growing everywhere, ear, nose, face, and whatever. Right? They talk about a few things. There's a few topics, and I know that there's folks that are outside this, but it's typically going to be in this era, sports, right? They're going to talk a lot about sports. Probably mechanical stuff, pardon? Football, which falls under the sports category. They're going to definitely talk about food, probably something to do with anything that has automobile to it, right? Motion. And what else? They're probably going to talk about girls, you know, depending on where they're at. That's a sport. Fishing is a sport. For some of us, it's a heartache because I can't sit there waiting on that fish. Just jump on the line, will you? Probably with that attitude, need to fish more. So you're around these guys that just really are limited in their speech because what? You gals use around, what, 30, 40,000 words a day, and men use, what, 10, 12, 20,000 tops? I mean, they come home and they're already worn out, you know? So by the way, guys, a little note to self, if you use a whole bunch of words at work and you have nothing for the home life, you need to shift your word amounts and say it. And some of you that are talking toms, you may need to pull back a little bit and be a Larry listener, you know? Oh, sorry, Larry. So you're sitting there and you're finally getting the chance. You're so stoked. You're finally getting the chance to go, I'm going to be with the girls. Because let's face it, when you go out, girls, don't you make up for other girls? You may not always make up for your fella, but you may make up for the other gals around. I don't know. I've heard that. If I'm wrong, say you're wrong, dude. Okay, so I'm wrong, dude. So you make up for your fella or the other girls. And you're just having this great time, right? You're having this great time with the gals. You're moving from wherever you're at to the city that's not too far away. And in this case, you're probably walking. And all of a sudden, well, let's read. Father, your word, please. Now, Dinah, or Dinah, the daughter of Leah, whom she had born to Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. Now, this isn't the daughter, necessarily the daughters of her sisters. We don't know how many sisters there are. But she is going out to the daughters of the land. She's done with the boys. Can you imagine it? Walking through, however far the land is, because evidently Jacob parked his family near another culture, the Hivites in this case. So she's going to go check out the Hivite women. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her. Okay, so we have the king's son. What happens with the king's son? Whatever the king's son wants, he gets, right? I mean, snap, it's there. I want this, I want that, at a finger's touch. If you had the signet ring, or today's term, the credit card with the PIN number, you can have whatever you want, right? And I see a lot of parents that aren't kings and queens, and they're giving their kids way too much and spoiling them way too much. What happens when you get way too much? You have an expectancy, right? You're an American. I want my burger with cheese and pickles and mustard only. How come when I get American, I always talk redneck? It's probably because I am, right? That's how you want it. You want your fast food. I don't want to wait, 45 minutes, 50 minutes for my big baked potato. I want it done in 4.5 minutes. Ding. Or if you're like me, my dad raised us eating raw potatoes, and I love raw potatoes. If you never had them, just slice them, a little salt on them. Oh. Jicama with an attitude. You get it whatever you want, whenever you want it. And one of the burger places even says, have it your way, right? You're used to having things. We can align ourselves with this. Yeah? Watch this. Hamor the Hivite, that's his dad, prince of the country, saw her, he took with her, he lay her, and violated her. Do you know what that means? Go ahead. What are my ears? He raped her. So that guy comes in and says, I saw, I want, you're mine, I take you, and I rape you. Now, I'm sorry if this subject is affecting some of you that have gone through that experience, whether it be male or female, that's had that happen to you, whether by the opposite gender or the same. But the facts of the matter are this. I'm just going, why is this peculiarity sitting here in Scripture? And I think that there's a lot to be learned from it today, which we will. But who in the hell do you think you are? Well, maybe that is right, because you are from hell when you think that it's okay to succumb to somebody or to overcome somebody that they succumb to you. That is a horrific thing to have had happen. She's going to hang with Manny Petty, Barnes & Noble, Starbucks and Dazbog. She's going to have a good time with the girls, and some bastard rapes her. Unrighteous, at minimum. He wanted after her. Where were her brothers? She had 12 because that's the 12 she's trying to get away from, right? To have some girl time. Where were the brothers to walk her to the next town over? Whether I shot her side by side. You know, here, guys, you know this. You know this. Any of you been here any length of time? When a woman or somebody that's a little more physically challenged goes to their vehicle, you are to usher them to their vehicle and go look in the back seat of their car to make sure nobody's going to jump out and thump them on the melon and hurt our women and our folks of physical challenge. That's just written in to our DNA here at Outpost and whoever's within earshot. What, are you trying to be chauvinist? No, that's already been settled by Jesus. We're trying to be graceful and be chivalrous to our women. Should be open the door for your bride. I don't care how many times she's got in the car with you or how many batteries you got in your power lock. You open the door for your bride. And women, you allow the men to do it because you're graceful enough to know that you can do it yourself, but you're allowing your man to be that gentleman, thus propagating more of the same. We walk our ladies out, and during the wintertime, guys, you know you got to bring your heavy coat and your ice scrapers because we got to knock the snow and ice off of everybody's car and dig them a little path so when they come out of church, they got clean ground to walk on. Well, my wife, she's a country girl. She can walk in the snow herself. Well, yeah, she can. But you know something? We're talking about being blessable and being a blessing, you know? When my remote didn't work on my car and my key, I had to get a separate key because the key didn't work in the lock anymore. And it changed my key and it bugged me because when we get in the CRV, I got to unlock my side and then unlock the door and then walk around and get Mary's door. I don't mind walking around, but she pops in that door quick. She's like a little snap, crackle, pop. And I want to get that door for her. So now I got a remote. I said, you got your remote? She goes, yeah, bing. She hits it and I can open the door for her. She can get in the car. You know, now sometimes if we're in a hurry and rain's coming down, we'll just both jump in, but it's rare. It's rare. Not much rain here. We want to be those men that out and overlook our friends. And if there's no fellas around, gals, you need to team up and make sure you check each other's car. You never put yourself in a situation that can be compromised. Never. They should have walked them out. We watch over our women folk, fellas. Are you listening? Especially you men that are up and coming, especially some of you guys that don't have a bride yet, you best be listening. Because you treat her like a queen, she'll act like one. And if she doesn't act like one, God will make that change. And ladies, if you're too proud to allow your man to open the door for you, you need to back off of that like a way bunch. And let that man practice the little things in life. You know? You still see it, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, in the South. And by the way, as we've been out in the country here in Colorado, I've heard it to the full. People give an amazing amount of respect to one another. And to have this kind of crap happen, it's horrible. It's just horrible. And it just, ugh. Any of you fathers of daughters? I'm a father of daughters. And I have granddaughters. And by the way, our fourth great-grandbaby from the same granddaughter got born this last week. Cute and pudgy. You can go ahead and go, aw. And guys go, cool, cigar time. No, not doing that. It's so cool. But I'm going to tell you something. If somebody comes and tries to violate one of mine, I'm going to cut your eyelids out and bury your neck deep and face you south in the sun. I mean, I'm just going to cut your throat. because that's what my heart wants to do. You have violated something that's mine. And I feel that way. And now you violated something that's his, made in his image. You may want to take care of your body a little bit better than that. Girls, boys, men, women. I want to tell you right now, when I get upset, my Southern comes out big time. And when it comes out big time, I'm done with words. You're getting it all gut. Boy, you better line up. I don't know how Jacob can hold his own knowing that that would have happened. All I can think is literally putting my hands up on somebody's jugular and pulling out their, what do you call those two things that go up and down that pumps blood? Yeah. And that whole thing right here that they swallow, I just want to see it in my hand. Am I being a little too graphic? I'm sorry, but that's how my heart is over something like this. But God, don't worry, we ain't going to leave you there. Lay with her, violated her. In 3 of Genesis 34, his soul was strongly attracted to Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the young woman, and he spoke kindly to the young woman. Oh, I just love you, my heart. Since I just got done raping you, I'm just so attuned to you. Wrong direction, wrong way. Where's the love first and the respect for that girl's body? Where's the love first, respect for that man's body, that boy's body, that man, that woman? I love you. So Shechem spoke to his father Hamor and says, get me this young woman as a wife. Okay, where's the thing? Dad, I'm having a desire for this woman. I need you to pray for me because I've taken her in my heart and now I'm taking her in my loins. I raped a woman, Dad. You need to turn me into the law. Where's that? Where's that remorse and regret for taking somebody that was innocent in the ways of the world, specifically fleshly? Where is that innocence that's there now? Where's that prayer ahead of time? Ahead of time. Father, protect me. Because that whole 1 Corinthians 10:13. Now I'm going to tell you something. And this lesson for me is extremely hard. Because of the violation that happened to me. It's extremely hard to go through this. So if you're struggling right now, I understand my version of it. And I'm sorry. But to see what God does is amazing. Wanted easy. He cleaved unto her. Get me this young woman as a wife. See, when you're the king's son or you're the princess and you're used to getting what you want whenever you want it on demand, you have expectations. Dad, get me this woman as my wife. And Jacob heard in 5 that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. His sons were filled with, were in the field, now his sons were with his livestock in the field. But I got to tell you, how does Jacob go settled in this matter? How does he go settled? How can he remain calm? It has to be the Lord. So Jacob held his peace until they came. Dude, I'm telling you, I'd be a roaring flame. I'd be white hot fire. And he held his peace until he was with his sons. Then Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out to Jacob to speak with him. Oh, okay, what are we going to have? Father knows best. Talk now. Are you going to silver tongue these words? My question is, Jacob, why did you park your family so close to the Hivites? Why did you bring your family Lot so close to Sodom and Gomorrah? Because you wanted this? You wanted that? Illustration, you guys like milk? No? You like rice milk? Okay, if you put that brown stuff that you squeeze in there, what do you call that? Huh? No, that's gold. What? Chocolate? And it goes, and don't the worst sound ever when you're making chocolate is, because it's out of chocolate, right? You got to pour the milk in, shake it up, and keep going, right? So what does the milk taste like when it's got that stuff in it? Chocolate. Okay, well, Mom, when we were little, she put vanilla in our milk. And then the milk never tasted like milk again. It had the same consistency, but it tasted like vanilla. When you park your family near the Hivites, chocolate milk. When you park your family near Sodom and Gomorrah, vanilla milk. The world's going to blend in and come into you. Now, you've got to still be able to be effectual in the world, but not so much that you succumb to the world. Jesus went to the sex trade industry, and he went to the tax collector robbers, and he spoke with them, and he ate with them, but he did not dwell with them. See, we got to be far enough away to protect our heart, mind, and our family, yet close enough to be usable by the Holy Spirit in the world, and then back out. Remember, of the world, in the world, not of the world, right? Now, that's probably not a great analogy because we all like chocolate milk to whatever degree, but I think the illustration holds up fairly well because it colorizes, it changes. It changes our hearts. I was watching some movie or commercial, I don't remember what it was, when I was writing last night, and I was sitting there going, yeah, yeah, and all of a sudden they made that spy the lie statement, and I'm kind of feeling my mind trying to go to it. It's like, no, I don't buy that. I don't buy that at all. There's a lie going on there. That doesn't line up with Scripture. I'm not letting my mind hold that thought and that thinking. This restraint he has. And you hear the dad's chat, you know, Jacob, Hamor talking to you here. Boys will be boys. No, men need to be men and yield. Girls will be girls. No, women need to be women and yield. Boys. Sorry, but in my family, I'm harder on the boys than with the daughters. We had both. I'm harder on the boys because the boys get a pass a lot of the times, and that ain't happening. You have boys? Don't you dare, dads, I'm talking to you right now. Don't you dare be a weak father to your boy. You be a strong father to your boy. You set him straight and square him up because they need it, and they're used to following under that submission, the following under the authority. It's a biblical word. They fall under the authority of the father because the father's been set and cast as the spiritual head of their home, not the mom. Sorry, ladies. You're there to come along beside and give direction, and he is the one that's responsible, the father, on what goes with the house before the Lord. And it's not a fun thing to sit there and think of, what am I going to tell the Lord about my family when I go before him? And he says, what did you do with the family I gave you? Now, I know when we go before him, it's more the crowns that he's throwing that we use and recast to him as it speaks in Revelation. But the idea and premise that God gave men stewardship over their families starts very young. And these young men need to see what's going on with the fathers and their relationships with the moms. You guys, and I've talked to some of you young guys that aren't married yet. Some of you guys that are, y'all fight fair. You fight fair. And they need to see you fight, but also restore. They know that things are going to be okay. And it's okay. Because look, you put two humans in any room any length of time, you're going to disagree about something. It's just going to happen. Raising a boy to do something like that. What kind of silliness is that? Well, it's the kind of silliness that doesn't have a righteous God guiding them. Or too drunk or inebriated from the world. Where am I? Somebody get me back on track.
3, 4, 6.
Thank you, 6. Then Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out to Jacob and spoke to him. And the sons of Jacob came in from the field, and they heard it. And the men were, grieved and very angry because he had done disgraceful thing in Israel by lying with Jacob's daughter, a thing which ought not to be done. But Hamor spoke to them, saying, the soul of my son Shechem longs for your daughter. Please give her to him as a wife. Okay, you raped my daughter and now you want her as a gift? Are you serious? And make marriages with, give us your daughters. Give us your daughters. And take our daughters with you. Okay, so you want to take my daughter, you raped her. Now you want to take more of the women. You didn't even ask, offer your girls first. If you wanted to put some kind of goofy sensibility to it. You shall dwell in us, and the land shall be you be before you. Dwell and trade in it, inquire possessions for yourselves in it. Okay, so now you're making a mechanical trade for my daughter. You know what that is, right? You're whoring my daughter. Just take this. You'll have the land. And if you'll take this, just give us your daughter and the others. Because your son can't hold himself straight and square. He has no restraint. And now you feel bad and you think he has amorous intention, and he may have, but now you want to trade for my women? Am I getting a little too fatherly and dad protective here? Hmm. 11. Then Shechem said to her father and her brothers, "Let me find favor in your eyes, and whatever you say to me, I will give." Okay, so now he's asking the brothers. You know how brothers are. I'll tell you, when I first came into Mary Lou's family, I had these old towers standing around me. You better treat my sister right. I got that from all her brothers, big old tall fellows. I said, "Don't you talk to me like that. I'll treat your sister better than you've ever known to treat her." I said, "Y'all back off." I could have got myself thumped, squished out mashed potatoes right before your eyes, right? But I was just ornery enough and just redneck enough and fresh out of the oil field. You're not going to tell me how to treat your sister 35 years hence. Ask me ever so much for dowry and gift, and I give according to what you say to me. But give me the young woman as a wife. So now dad's tried to whore her, and now the son is doing the same. Sorry to be a little graphic with the words, but that's ultimately what a harlot is. But the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor, his father, and spoke deceitfully because he had defiled Dinah, their sister. And they said to them, "We can't do this thing to give our sister to one who is uncircumcised." Okay, so you need to go out and get circumcised, then you can have her. Well, on the outside, that's like, all right, well, wait a minute. Why are you circumcised in the first place? Because you're showing your alignment with the Lord and his promises that you're going to bring that relationship with the Lord and share it with the entire world so that they can have peace and rest in your soul. And now you're going to trade this whole circumcision thing as a trade-off. You're trading the circumcision for the woman and the goods instead of for the life with the Lord. You see how horizontal that is? Horizontal. And they said to him, "We cannot do this thing to give you our sister to one who is uncircumcised, for that would be a reproach to us." In 15, "But on this condition, we will consent to you. If you will become as we are, if every male of you is circumcised, then we'll give you our daughters to you, and we'll take your daughters and dwell, and we'll dwell with you, and we will become one people. But if you will not heed us and be circumcised, then we will take our daughter," singular, "and be gone." Music, sweetness to his ears, right? In 18, "And the words pleased him." Oh, I'm so happy about that. I'm going to get my girl. He was the first one to go up to Dr. Snip. Woo! Let's go, guys. Yeah. "And their words pleased Hamor and Shechem and Hamor's son." In 19, "So the young man did not delay to do the thing because he delighted in Jacob's daughter." He was so happy to get her. Cut away, boys. Cut away. "And he was more honorable than all the household of his father." You know what? Building that line and that trade and that rape and all that other, and you're calling this honorable because you did a little skin snip? I don't know what kind of honor code they have in their family, but maybe the men saw him, wow, he did the right thing. He gave up from his own flesh, from his reproductive ways, to have that cut just to be a part of them. That love must have been special and deep and misplaced originally. "And Hamor and Shechem, his son, came to the gate of their city and spoke with the men of their city, saying, 'These men are at peace with us. Therefore, let them dwell in the land and trade in it.'" So this is the sell. we got these guys that are living near us, the Hivites. They're going to trade with us. We're going to buy and trade with them. Doesn't that sound good? Yeah, that's cool. We'll increase our take. For indeed, the land is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters to us as wives, and let us give them our daughters. Only this one condition will be with the men. Snip. That must be a good sales job. If every male among us is circumcised as they are circumcised, 23, will not their livestock, their property, and every animal of theirs be ours? Do you see the sell? It's not a sell for the dialogue with God. It's not that at all. It's the sell for money and exchange, misappropriated. Only let us consent to them, and they will dwell with us. And all who went out the gate, that's where everybody spoke, outside the gate. That's where all judicious acts had, and be like the coffee shop, if you will, coffee shop. And all they will dwell with us. And all who went out of the gate of this city heeded Hamor and Shechem, his son. Every male was circumcised, all who went out of the gate of this city. Now it came to pass on the third day that they were sore. Gentlemen, have you ever been kicked below the belt and above the knees, where it knocks the breath out of you? Have you ever been kicked by a calf or a cow or a horse? I'm going to tell you right now, I see that Jackass movie and I see those guys doing stupid things, and they have something like a fist there, and they'll have some type of deal where they're sitting on the side of the car aimed right at a target point just to see if they can take it. How stupid can you be in one breath? Because I'm going to tell you right now, getting stepped on there is a horrible feeling. And you're out. You gals or guys have seen it when your kid falls off his bicycle and he racks himself, right? Boom, he's on the ground and he can't breathe, right? You just can't breathe. I don't know why that's that way, but it's that way, right? I don't know what it's like to be circumcised as an adult male. I don't want to know if you know. But I got to tell you something, that can't be fun. I mean, I get a splinter under my fingernail or a paper cut, and I'm like, help. Circumcised like us. So let me ask you, if you stand in a Burger King, are you a Whopper? Right? If you stand in an automotive repair shop right in the middle where cars are worked on, does that make you a car? No, it surely doesn't. Just because somebody calls themselves a Christian doesn't mean that they're a Christian. You know, girls, and it's not just for in the audience, it's for whoever's in earshot. You know, one of the things when we were out at the high school that the amount of pressure that was put on women to jump in and shake the sheets was incredible. That the guys around them would say anything to do this. And they say, oh, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Or vice versa. The gals will bat their eyes, flaunt their selves a bit, just to shake the sheets with a guy, saying they're a Christian, and they're not. What, are you being judgmental? Well, of course. We're supposed to judge. Judge lest you be judged. Well, salvation, of course. But let me show you something. Can you pull up Matthew 7:16, please? Matthew 7. You will know them by their fruit. So if there's going to be good or bad fruit, right? Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistle? Wait a minute. So have you ever eaten the purple flower off a thistle when you were a kid? Or did you ever eat, try this, did you ever eat a dandelion when you were a kid? Did you ever bite on one of those? I did. What's that? And it's just all in your mouth, right? Well, that's goofy. Keep going, please. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears what? Bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor a bad tree good, right? Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Watch. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. I'm telling you right now, you're probably jumping a little too soon. Or you're thinking about jumping too soon. You need to end that. And you need to end it now. Your thoughts, your heart, all the above. Take it before the Lord and be done with it. Because to see the tension that was on those girls' faces, they wanted to remain pure before the Lord. They wanted to remain pure. The guys that want to remain pure, they don't want that kind of pressure. Let them call themselves a Christian and go do non-fruit-oriented things. And know their fruit. Know why they're doing that. Not most honorable in my view, the way this guy did this. Where am I? Gate of the city. Oh, the third day. Now it came to pass on the third day that they were in pain. And two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, number two and I think number three, if I remember, maybe four, Dina's brothers, each took the sword and came boldly upon the city and killed all the males. Done. And killed Hamor, Shechem, his son, with the edge of the sword, and took Dina from Shechem's house and went out. Dinah. The sons of Jacob came upon the slain and plundered the city. The sons of Jacob, that means they all did, potentially. Plundered the city because their sister had been defiled. They took the sheep, they took the ox, they took the donkeys, they took what was in the city and what was in the field. They took their crops and all their wealth. And the little ones that were left over, the little sons and daughters and the wives, they took as slaves or took captive. And they plundered even all that was in the houses. Dude, they went a little overboard. Now, I know that rape was heavy duty, but they took out every one of the men. They took out everything. And they stole everything. Do you understand? That's called bloodlust. What's the movie? Passion of the Christ. Did you see when they were whipping him how Gibson had that portrayed? Lee Strobel was the technical director. Did you see the bloodlust they showed on the Romans' faces when they were ripping the skin off of the back of our Savior? That was the first time I saw bloodlust to that degree. This is bloodlust. Lusting after another man's flesh to be ripped off from their body. That sucks. They took all that stuff. You need to understand the mindset. You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you worse. You hurt me worse, I'm going to beat you up. You beat me up, I'm going to kill you. You kill me, I'm going to take out your whole family. You take my whole family, I'm going to take out your tribe. And it may not have taken that many back and forth to get there. Can you throw that next scripture up, Matthew 5, please? You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. So we'll all walk around blind and can't eat, right? But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other cheek to him also. Let me tell you something. What? Because that's not how it would have been done. Turn the other cheek. No, no, no. We're going to go after the next layers, right? If any one of you wants to sue you and take away your tunic, give him your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. That was there for the Roman soldiers. It was requisite that if a Roman soldier asked you to carry his goods, you had to go 1 mile. Jesus is saying go on a second one and go 2. Next, please. Thank you. Give to him who asks and from him who wants to. Borrow from you and do not turn away. Eye for an eye and tooth for tooth. Reckon that's a little overboard. I don't know how many men were in the city, but you need to understand something. They just didn't take out Shechem or Hamor. They wiped out the entire future from all the wives. The familial lineage is gone. They wipe out a city, take the kids into slavery and the women into slavery, take all their boot. They wipe out a civilization, not just a neighborhood. Guys are mighty quiet. Is this tracking with you a bit? Because we had that ability to have that flare of anger. Remember, I like to hold their tonsils in my hand and watch that heart go. That's me. That's me. These guys went too far. You see, the desire for justice will never satisfy. Enough blood would have been Shechem if you're even going to go that route. But to take out Dad and the rest of them, it wasn't enough. I'll show you in a minute why it wasn't enough. They wanted more. It's war, dude. Brought to the front door. What was Jacob's concern? Last bit. Then Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, "You have troubled me by making me obnoxious among the inhabitants of the land." He was concerned about how that would be perceived naturally, because they're small and they could have been overcome in the same way. Dude, do you understand that your consequences are very evident among the Canaanites and the Perizzites? "Since I am few in number, they will gather themselves together against me and kill me. I shall be destroyed, my household and I." This next line reveals that the just act as they saw it was not enough. But they said, "Should he treat our sister like a harlot or a whore?" That alone says that bloodlust is not enough. That alone speaks that the just act that we think that we should get for somebody else's wrong will never satisfy. We've talked about that over the last few weeks. Oh, what justice is in the court's eyes today? What just act do we see in our own eyes? Ladies, hang on to your virginity. And if it's been broken, ask God to restore, and then be pure from that point forward until marriage. Men, the same way. If you've already shaken the sheets with somebody and you did it early, stop and take that before the Lord. Repent. He'll treat you as if new. I've seen this in marriages. It's happened in my own life. Mary and I were living together, and we were approached about remaining pure until our wedding day. You know, I would even encourage some to move out of the house, and we've seen that happen as well. Well, that's a little extreme. Well, what you're doing is also. Vengeance, vengeance. Who does that belong to? The Lord. I will repay. I'm a dad. I would be furious. I can sit there and think of the crimes that have happened to me and those that have happened to my family, and I can conjure up all sorts of anger that has been well put to bed, because the violation that happened to me, it no longer has me trapped. The consequences from the individual that did that are no longer in my camp, because the Lord is, and I don't put my camp next to the Hivites or the Perizzites or the Canaanites or the men in tights. That's a joke. Don't be quick to bed someone. In your mind, in your heart, or in actuality, you're better than that. You're better than that. You're better than that. Act that. As a Christian, yield to the things of this world and the things of your heart and the righteousness you're seeking. Yield all of that to the Lord's righteousness. Rape is a horrid and horrible act. It's horrible. You know that if it's happened to you, or if you were a part of that or permissive of that guy talk, girl talk, that God was right there with Shechem saying, "Don't do that." And he did it anyway. And he's right there against the violators that have done that and done it anyway. It's futile to take these things in your own hand. But God, the hope in him. Because I got to tell you something. Do you know where the guys that set these up, Simeon and Levi, do you know who their mama was? Their mama was Leah. Loveless Leah. Right? Because Jacob loved Rachel more, and God heard her plea. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, right? Or a week ago, about all the children and raised up, because God saw that she was not loved by Jacob, so he brought children to her, right? Well, let me tell you something. Those guys that chopped their necks and stole that stuff, Levi was one of them. You want to know about Levi? Do you know what comes out of the tribe of Levi? All the rabbis, to teach them how to go out and have the love of the Lord and spread it with all the world. Translation, transliteration, pastor or priest, preacher of the day. And that's their moorings. How about one of the other ones? Judah. Judah. David's tribe. Jesus comes from David's line. Our Father is abounding in grace and mercy forever. And he hasn't changed because the world is adapting to modernity. He still loves us so desperately. And he loves the violated and the violator equally, because he died for all of us. The person that did that to me, he died for. The sins that I've done to others, he's died for me. And he's died for us. Isn't that the best? This is a hard topic to look at, but I sit there and I look at it and I'm like, you have that cross to give as much grace to every one of these violators and violated. Righteous seekers, just seekers, and the like. I love that he has that depth and richness of grace. You think you can be forgiven for your shortcomings? You're right, you can. And did you know your violators also have that shortcoming that they can be absolved? It's a good thing, right? His grace, listen, his grace and mercy are aptly voluminous. It's music to our ears. Father, we thank you. We thank you for what you do. Lord, how can we tell you thank you enough when we see such brokenness and such criminality, and yet you just pour out an amazing amount of grace. We sang so many songs today about grace, and we sang a song of Hallel, hallelujah, praise God. Father, how? How can you love us so much? How can you be so forgiving? How can you dispense flood-like that love? Because you're you. Father, I pray forgiveness abounds. I pray the men and women in this room right now and within earshot on the recording, Lord, that they accept your love. Whatever violation that happened to them did not happen because of them. What happened was because of sin. Father, those that have violated, we pray for them. If they just knew you, if they just knew you and just genuinely knew the love you have for them, those violations would not have even creeped in. This Shechem fella, he wasn't part of the tribe of Israel. Doesn't give him a pass. It brings understanding about sin, though. Lord, please, rip this stuff out of us. If there is anybody in here, Lord, that you're seeing right now that is still holding grudge, is still holding baggage, is still trapped by somebody else's stupidity or lack of knowing you, I pray, Holy Spirit, pour that love out on them as we speak. Please, I implore you, just pour love into their soul and let that be washed clean and displaced. Because that's not who your people are. If there are people here in this room right now, Lord, that are still holding ill will against somebody and they hurt or they're mad at you, they're mad at you, and they don't want to succumb to your love because that's the only thing that they know. That's the only thing that's being held on to. It's the only act of justness in their heart. Father, let it be released. Let it pour out. You died for a dying world. You died for people that are stupid, and we are of that number. Our wisdom only comes from you. Our love only comes from you. Our ability to reach out to people and love them beyond their measure, beyond our measure, can only come from you. But Father, it's hard to work when we're carrying baggage. It's hard to run when you got a backpack full of stuff. garbage. Holy Spirit, clean our people. Clean them out. Forgive. There's no sin. There's no sin you have not. You've seen it. You've seen every bit of it. And you're right there telling them, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. And the intoxication of lust and world and desire eliminates the vocal. Turning up the music of wanton desire. Father, turn down that music. Turn down all of that stuff that's we're trying to insulate from you. And let us trust you with giving you the baggage of the burden. We bring these repulsive things to the foot of your cross, from the stolen paperclip to the murderous act. And you see that as such a sweet offering. And we want to puke looking at it. Father, we get the opportunity of sharing communion with you today and remembering you. Because if not, we'll remember all the junk of the world, and I just don't want to do that. Thank you for pouring out your mercy. Thank you for pouring out your grace. Thank you for pouring out your justice for just us. We remember you, Lord. Your name is your nature. Your nature is goodness and righteousness and love and peace and rest and fortress and every name that is good and holy. Clean your people, please, Lord. I'm just asking, not demanding. We would not do that. We're just asking, Lord, open their hearts. Communion comes.